gonna be round my vegetables. I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Hello and welcome. This is Passionate Nutrition Radio, and I'm your host, Jennifer Adler. I've been a nutritionist for more than a decade, and I'm the founder of Passionate Nutrition, a nutrition practice with 8 locations throughout the greater Puget Sound area. Since beginning my practice, I've helped clients lower their cholesterol, combat depression, treat cancer, reverse diabetes, lose weight, and completely transform their lives with nutrition. Food is medicine, and on Passionate Nutrition, I'll answer your nutritional questions and talk about what foods promote wellness and vitality. This is a call-in show, so please feel free to reach out to us at any time throughout the show. We welcome any and all questions and stories you'd like to share. We'd love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. Thank you so much for joining me today. So it's that time of year when many of us are gearing up from some sort of spring break adventure. I love to travel, and as a nutritionist, I'm often asked how I eat and keep healthy food in my diet while traveling. And eating nourishing foods that sustain us and promote optimal health can be challenging most days, actually, even when we're not traveling, but it can be even harder when we're on the road. So on top of the added challenges, traveling also makes us more susceptible to stress, depending on the type of travel it is. You know, a lot of times we can be in parts of the U.S. or the world where, you know, there isn't food that maybe we consider it junk food, you know, especially if we're going along the highways and we don't know where to stop. You know, we can get less sleep, and statistically, it can often lead to weight gain. There was a recent TripAdvisor survey of about 1,400 U.S. travelers, and it found that 29% of the people always or often gained weight during a vacation. And the travelers also confess that they're more likely to overindulge when on the road. 65% say they eat more, and 48% say they drink more alcohol. And people who travel for business are just as, or sometimes even more, vulnerable. There was a study by Columbia University that looked at medical records of more than 13,000 employees last year. And people who traveled a lot for business, or they're called road warriors, when they traveled 2 or more weeks a month, had a higher body mass index, which is just an indicator oftentimes of if somebody is on the overweight side. So in today's show, even though we want you to have a wonderful time on your vacations and your trips and enjoy the food that you're having, you know, keeping in mind that this is such a snapshot in time, you know, if we're traveling for 1 to 2 weeks out of the year, you know, and you've got 52 weeks, you know, really those 1 to 2 weeks aren't going to make a huge impact. And at the same time, we want to feel our best. You know, we want to stay healthy and we want to keep our immune system strong while we're traveling, whether it's for work or for vacations. So Emily Bell, one of our amazing nutritionists at Passionate Nutrition, is here with me today. Thank you, Emily, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Great. Now, you can learn more about Emily and her approach to nutrition on our site, PassionateNutrition.com. So, Emily, did the statistics that I just shared, did they surprise you at all?
Unfortunately, not. I've had quite a few clients that travel either for business or pleasure, or oftentimes both. And even as these surveys showed, people even know that when they travel, it can make eating healthy and maintaining a healthy weight a little bit more of a challenge for them.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like this is a topic that comes up a lot with you and your clients.
It definitely has, yes. Travel seems to be becoming a lot easier for people to do, and so they're doing it more and more often and out of the home more.
Yeah, and I invited you on today because I know that as a mother of 3 young children and also having a husband that travels a lot, you're probably constantly thinking about how to travel with healthy food. I mean, even probably with your family, even when it means just going to the park, as far as what you would pack for yourself and also the girls.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, Jennifer. It's true. I don't do a whole lot of traveling for work, but I do travel a lot with the little ones, and I'm always sure to have something healthy, some snacks with us in the car.
So how do you make sure that you always have nutrient-rich foods on hand when you travel with your kids? Because, I mean, you're also juggling three small children.
Yeah, that's a great question. There's actually a few different things that I do. And first of all, I just always make sure I have a stash in the car. It's just always there. It's kind of more of my emergency food for the times when we end up being out longer than planned, which ends up happening quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the kids get hungry. So I have things like, for my emergency stash, I kind of keep things more like applesauce and pouches or fruit leathers, dried fruit, maybe a trail mix, some granola bars. And those just always kind of are in the car. They're real shelf staple items, and they just have a special little spot for when we get to those meltdown moments and need some food.
I know I have those meltdown moments myself.
Right, yes. And I often enjoy when I'm getting into the children's emergency food, because there's always good snacks in there for me too.
And when you said pouches, can you describe which ones you're referring to?
Yeah, definitely. I have found that, and for my kids, kids tend to love things in different types of containers. That squeezable yogurts have been all the hit, and then now there's also squeezable fruits and vegetables in little convenient, they kind of have a spout on the top, a little pouch. I buy them anywhere. I've seen a lot of different ones, and they have medleys of fruits and vegetables, or they just have plain old applesauce, and you can really find some really just pureed fruit. Sometimes they're in the, I started on them in the baby food aisle, but my five-year-old still likes the applesauce. So,
you know, that's interesting that you bring that up, because I've had a lot of clients recently that have said that they do the same thing for themselves, that
yeah.
they buy the baby food, fruit and vegetable pouches. And then I started looking into it, and I found that actually the companies are starting to market flavors more towards adults, because so many adults they find are buying the foods for themselves instead of the kids.
You bet. Yeah. Yeah. And I really like too how you can find just some fun combinations. The really, like, one of the favorites for all of us is apple carrot, actually. So we have that one often.
Well, and it sounds like it's tasty.
It is great.
If you all like it.
Yes, it's great. Yeah. Yesterday, my kids had a butternut squash and pear, which was fantastic. So
it was a squeezable pouch.
It was a squeezable pouch.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and so that's usually what, you know, kind of what I already have in the car, but I also usually will grab something on the way out the door as well, and that there's more options mm-hmm. in terms of what I can grab on the way out the door. I can grab, like, a string cheese, or that's when I'll grab fresh fruit or fresh cut-up vegetables. I also keep some healthy oatmeal cookies that I made. Like, they're called cookies, but they're mm-hmm. basically oats and peanut butter, and I keep those in the freezer and can kind of grab one of those on my way out the door for the kids as well. So that I always am usually bringing something with me, as well as not just having stuff stored in the car.
Right. Yeah, and I know I'll often do the same things. Like I have an emergency kit, what I call it, in my car as well, and it's just a Tupperware bin. And I'll put a lot of the same things that you mentioned. And I'll also add things like the nut squeezes. You know what I'm talking about? Where
yes,
it's like peanut
yes.
butter and honey, or there's an almond butter and maple syrup.
There's a chocolate one, too.
Yes, the chocolate hazelnut. That one's a crowd pleaser also. And then I'll also throw in, you can get some nitrate-free salami or so a lot of times I'll have that in the car as well, or beef jerky that you can get nitrate free. And I'll even throw in, especially in the winter time, I'll keep string cheese in there as well, or some of the even individually packed cheeses, because it tends to stay so cool most of the time. And if we think about it, you know, if we go back through history, the reason that we had things like cheese is because we didn't have refrigeration, you know, and a lot of parts of Europe, if you go into a cheese store, there's no refrigeration. The cheese is just out. So it tends to get a little sweaty. So it depends on if that if the sweatiness is a problem. But it actually lasts for quite a while before it starts to get moldy. So that ends up being a hit in the emergency box in my car, too. And they tend to get eaten before it ends up being an issue anyway.
Right, yeah. Those are, cheese is always a hit.
Yeah, and I like that you make those cookies, too, that you bring with you.
That's, yes, the children always enjoy having a cookie. They often even don't want to wait for snack time. That often goes in as soon as we get into the car. So.
Well, and what it sounds like, actually, is that you're almost making your own protein bar or power bar or things that get sold. You know, it's kind of, it sounds like a similar version, but just made into a cookie form.
It's very similar, yes. Instead of, and I've tried it the way where you can kind of spread it out and cut it into granola bars,
mm-hmm.
but I have found that the round cookie is just easier for us, and it does store really well in the freezer and are kind of, I call them cookies, so they're more fun for us. So.
Right, yeah, the kids like it if it gets called a cookie.
It's amazing how a little labeling will take you, and just like we were talking about with the pouches, I mean, what you call your food is also important.
Right, and I would guess with those cookies that you're making, you could also throw in things like some nuts. Oh, actually, that's a big one that I keep in my emergency box, too, is the kids tend to definitely like them if they're roasted and salted. Versus, you know, a lot of adults will like plain nuts, but the kids for sure, either if they're glazed, like where they're candied, or where they're roasted and salted, that's where it tends to work.
Yes, right.
Yeah, but in those cookies, you could also add things like nuts or coconut. I mean, it sounds like they're really versatile.
Yes, and yeah, I throw flax seeds in sometimes or wheat germ. There's usually some raisins or some sort of dried fruit, cranberries. So you can put a lot of different fun things in there and mix them up, make them a little bit different each time.
Right. Well, it's time for us to take a quick break, but stay with us. And when we return, we'll share some great tips on healthy eating at a restaurant, ideal snacks for road trips, and even what to order if fast food is the only option. So stay with us.
Who cares about other things? C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. C is for cookie, that's good enough for me.
Let the power of nature boost your metabolism, nourish your skin, and help save you a fortune on cosmetics. This summer, travel to Lopez Island with renowned nutritionist Jennifer Adler and learn how to access the power of local plants. Join Jennifer's summer workshop, Seaweed 101 and Wild Foods 101. I'm Martha Hadley, and I love seaweed. It's delicious, nutritious, and extremely popular. At Jennifer's workshops, you'll harvest seaweed from a kayak, forage restorative wild foods, and learn how to transform local plants into herbal remedies, luxurious beauty products, and delicious meals. Rich in minerals, vitamins, and fiber, seaweed and many other wild foods detoxify and restore our body to its optimal health, which translates to natural weight loss, increased energy, and glowing skin. Space is limited, so learn more and sign up today for these incredible workshops at PassionateNutrition.com. For a great nutritionist, choose Passionate Nutrition like I did. With 6 locations and coverage by most insurance plans, that's PassionateNutrition.com.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauley. Tune into my show, Get Active, each Tuesday at 12 noon on Alternative Talk 1150. Each week, we invite a guest to talk about one of the wonderful activities in the Puget Sound region, ones that you may want to participate in. We'll focus on how adult beginners can comfortably get into all of these activities. You'll learn a lot about how you can get active. Be sure to listen. That's Get Active with me, Pat Pauley, at 12 noon each Tuesday on Alternative Talk 1150.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. C is for cookie, that's good enough for me.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Emily, an extraordinary nutritionist at Passionate Nutrition, and we're sharing some of our favorite tips for healthy eating on the road. And just as a reminder, this is a call-in show. So please feel free to reach out to us with any stories, any questions, anything you'd like to share. We really love hearing from you. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. Thank you so much for listening. So, Emily, let's start with healthy eating at a restaurant. This is a really big one, and this is true, I mean, whether we're traveling, but even, you know, when we're at home. So what do you typically recommend to your clients?
Yeah, that's an often question I get asked about is how to eat healthy at a restaurant. And it's, I think one of the most difficult things that people run into, especially when they're traveling, is eating an appropriate portion amount.
Mm-hmm.
So often when they're traveling, you wait a longer time between your meals. And so you go in and you're more hungry and you want to fill up and get you kind of to the next time. You want to have as few stops as possible on a road trip, right? That's always our goal is, all right, let's fill up and power through to the next stop. So but that situation can often lead to overeating. So I usually recommend that first people try to just prevent that from happening by having snacks on hand, a lot of the things that we talked about earlier. So that they can make reasonable choices when they get to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea. So they're snacking while they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they are at the restaurant, another option is to split the entree with someone. So maybe they you can agree on something that you like, and if you don't think that it's going to be enough for both of you, you can even start with a salad if it's and kind of fill up on, a little bit on those fresh vegetables first. And then split the entree.
I always love doing that. I mean, it seems like it, unless it's a fancy restaurant and where the portions are so much smaller, but you're probably not doing that while you're on a road trip. I mean, maybe in the evening, you know, or when time permits. But it seems like initially there's that feeling of, oh, no, this isn't going to be enough food. And inevitably it is.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, two, it's really being a savvy menu reader as well when you're there, and ask questions. I always recommend to my clients that they can go ahead and ask the server or, you know, if they're just ordering at a counter, ask questions about how the food is prepared and how big the portion is. You're not the first person to do that. That's kind of what I always say is that a lot of times they feel embarrassed to go ahead and start asking all these questions about the menu, but people usually, you know, I have really had good results with finding out really more about what they're ordering.
You know, that's such a good idea. And it is true. We ask a lot of questions when it comes to ingredients, you know, but we don't often ask as much about portion sizes. Like, is this enough for us to split? Or is this more of an individual portion?
Right, yeah. And I've even had clients come back and say that when they split the meal that they ended up getting, they feel like they got two full meals anyways. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of times restaurants will split it for you and they're full even from their half portion.
Right. Now, I know when I'm splitting a meal, like if it's with my husband, I take my knife and I divide it in half. And then sometimes I do have to stab him a little bit with the fork. He starts because I eat slower than he does.
Right.
Which maybe that... that's a little bit telling, but it's funny. And it's a conversation starter, and we usually laugh about it. So it can also be entertaining at the same time.
Yeah, definitely.
But maybe that's a stretch. Right, but it is true. Portion sizes tend to be so huge, and there's usually enough to share. And the good thing about it, too, is that it ends up saving money also.
Definitely, yes. It's a great way to eat on the road if you're... put a little bit more money into the gas tank or spend it on a nice stop, or even that gives you more of an opportunity to stop at a nicer restaurant if you know that you're going to be splitting your meal.
Mm-hmm. Right. And as far as other ideas when you're at a restaurant, what else would you recommend looking for? So it sounds like, you know, you ask a lot of questions with the server as far as the portion size and see if you want to split it, or you also recommended, you know, having a salad with it if you think it might not be enough. What other tips do you have for people?
Well, in the same way of asking about the portion size, I often ask how things are prepared. Mm-hmm. Some of that you can get from the menu, whether it's baked or fried, but you can ask for your vegetables without the butter or the sauce or to put it on the side. And so some of those things are great ways to really just be more conscious in what you're eating and what you're choosing. So you don't have to just necessarily take what they put in front of you and to go ahead and ask for your salad dressing on the side of your salad or to not put butter on your vegetables. And those things are great ways to save on calories when you're eating out, which can often get higher than you'd like, but still enjoy your meal.
Right. And also with the vegetables, you know, most entrees come with at least one vegetable, but, you know, sometimes you can also get something else on the plate substituted for another vegetable, or you can order a side as well, like whether it, as you mentioned, Emily, a salad, or also, you know, sometimes there might be something that sounds good, like some collard greens that are prepared in a way that sounds really tasty that you can also order as an additional side.
You bet. And I always ask for fruit instead of fries on my children's meals.
Mm-hmm.
Like for my kids, I've never had a problem with that. They always will give me fruit for my kids instead of fries. And you could do that for yourself as well, of course. But that's one thing my kids just know that, and they enjoy the fruit, the fresh fruit, just as much as they would the French fries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or sometimes what we'll do as well, instead of ordering entrees, we might get a soup or a salad, or we might just get a couple of appetizers, because sometimes the appetizers sound much more interesting than the entrees do. Because I know one of the things I'm thinking about when I go to a restaurant is, you know, is this something that I wouldn't make at home? You know, is this something that I know I wouldn't be eating it and think, oh, I could have made this so much tastier? You know, so I try to order things that are interesting or that I don't generally make. And oftentimes that ends up being the appetizers, which are fun.
Yes, you bet. I often do that. I will order just a couple appetizers as my meal and ask for it to come out with the food.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if you're someplace, like I know I have a lot of family in Nebraska, and I'll go to Nebraska, and it's really, I mean, the options are pretty limited. It ends up being a lot of fast food. So what if fast food is really the only option that you have?
Yeah, that's definitely something that people run into when they're traveling, and even when they're on road trips, because then that's what's along the highway are often the signs for the fast food places.
Mm-hmm.
So you you feel a little bit more limited and are less likely to walk into a restaurant that you aren't familiar with, right?
Right.
So then you often end up in a fast food restaurant. So really, then you, I often recommend some more of that, just savvy menu reading, and also looking for fast food places like Subway or Quiznos, where you get more control over what you're eating. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, when I go to Subway, I can pick my bread and my vegetables, so I can choose a whole grain, lean meats, throw on lots of vegetables, control how much sauce goes on, and those choices are going to taste really good, taste really fresh, and fill me up.
I think that, is Baja Fresh another one that it seems like?
Mexican style, yes.
Yeah, that it seems like a lot of clients are finding healthier options there as well, that they're focusing on the quality of their ingredients.
Fast food restaurants have really started listening to consumers, I feel like, and that there's more. I mean, I used to never see whole wheat tortillas.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's options like that at like Baja Fresh. You can go and find a whole wheat tortilla and black beans instead of refried. So I think it's all these questions that we are asking, and fast foods are listening. McDonald's has apple slices now as their side instead of French fries.
Right. And I know, like, for example, when I go to Nebraska, and right along the highway, there's going to be a bunch of fast food places. But if you take the time, also, it seems like, to drive into the towns, you know, there will often be some mom and pop types of places, like a drive-in. Or I know in Nebraska, there's also a lot of really great Mexican food that you can get. And it seems like also if you go to more of a mom and pop, you know, something that isn't a chain, there's often a lot of healthier options there as well. And the taste can often be, it just seems like there's more care sometimes put into the food. I mean, of course, that's a generalization and not always true, but I like to seek out those types of places as much as I can.
Yeah, that's often the fun part of a road trip, right? Is that adventure mm-hmm. to try some new places and try out some new things. And some are going to be an amazing score and some will be a miss. But
right, exactly. And
it's totally worth it just to be able to find a new little gem that had amazing, delicious food. So when you're on the road trip and have time to do that, it's so much fun.
It's true. And sometimes that is the highlight, you know, finding this little hole in the wall gem. And the food can just be so amazing that's the memorable moment.
Right. Yeah. That's often what I see posted on Facebook, right? Are people's like when they find, if you're ever here, go to this restaurant. It's like they get so excited about that they tell everyone.
Well, I mean, food is such a wonderful part of the whole travel experience. So I think that's one of the best finds that we have, or at least for me it is.
Yeah, I would agree. Sometimes I have to muster a little courage to go into places when I'm not so sure. Definitely my first kind of, like, intuition is kind of, oh, no, I don't know if I should. But there's so many times I've been so thankful that I tried something new.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Now, it's time for us to take a quick break. And stay tuned. When we return, we'll share some promising statistics that are great news for those of us who want to eat healthier when we travel. And we'll offer some great snack tips for your next road trip. And please feel free to call in with any questions throughout the show. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be right back.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again.
Does losing weight feel like a never-ending battle that you just can't win? Or maybe you really just want to eat better, have more energy, and improve your health? Well, now you can do it all. And your office visits may likely be covered by your health insurance. Passionate Nutrition will help you lose weight and look and feel fantastic. It's time for a new dieting approach, not a battle. One that's sustainable, realistic, and good for you. Passionate Nutrition is a custom nutrition-based program from Seattle nutritionist Jennifer Adler, a nationally recognized nutrition consultant for ABC Nightline. Jennifer has designed this breakthrough concept in nutrition and health. No gimmicks, no expensive supplements or cardboard tasting food. Nutrition counseling that creates a custom tailored success plan using fresh foods and easy to prepare tasty meals. Don't try to go it alone. Passionate Nutrition's follow-up sessions will help you achieve long-term success. 6 convenient Puget Sound locations and coverage by most insurance plans. Passionate Nutrition offers affordable and realistic health and weight loss. Go to PassionateNutrition.com. PassionateNutrition.com. Passionate about you.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Every generation needs a voice, and on Mondays at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150, Lewis Howard's show, Head of the House, is the voice for the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Head of the House brings education, insight, and information that brings health and healing to the challenges of managing your home, relationships, and your career. Tune in once and you will be hooked. That's Head of the House every Monday at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Emily Bell, one of our amazing nutritionists at Passionate Nutrition. So over the break, Eric, you had mentioned something that you thought would be helpful for listeners.
Oh, yeah. One thing I find handy when I'm traveling nowadays is that my iPhone has a little app that I downloaded for Yelp, which is great for finding restaurant reviews. So you can actually use that to find, you know, more of the local places. Mm-hmm. And you can even put in like terms like vegetarian or whatever to help you narrow down your choices to find, you know, a healthy alternative to whatever's just there on the side of the freeway. So it makes it pretty easy nowadays, which is nice.
Yeah, that's great. And what Eric was mentioning, too, is that, I mean, this is wonderful because you get more of a local flavor. You know, you get to find out what the people who live there really enjoy.
Yeah. And you can even find things like farmers markets and stuff that you wouldn't have thought of, like, you know, necessarily visiting. But then you can get real local and get the local produce and stuff, too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank
you. Great idea, Eric.
Thanks.
So there's some promising statistics for eating healthier while traveling. There was a 2011 survey by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and they found that 83% of 15 major U.S. airports had at least one high-fiber vegetarian item on the menu, and that was up from 57% a decade before. And there's another study, according to Route Happy, which is a website that collects reviews of airport amenities. 66% of nearly 700 travelers were able to find an abundant or sufficient healthy and fresh food options in airports. And especially, actually, Seattle was mentioned, the SeaTac airport. San Francisco, actually, I love the San Francisco airport. I love to go there just to eat. Miami, New York's JFK, and LaGuardia as well. And I know I've seen that with clients. A lot of my clients that travel a lot, they've really started speaking to how airports are getting more and more savvy. Are you noticing that too, Emily, with your clients?
Yes, I have. And they're mentioning just that there's more options, not only just in terms of the restaurants, like I think that survey was talking about, but even like within the terminal, they're having sandwiches and fresh fruit and things like that, where that kind of those, even those grab and go snacks are improving. You don't have to just buy the bag of candy or the, you know, the trail mix. Used to be kind of one of the best choices out of the little airport terminals.
Yeah, I remember last time, I know I said this when I was mentioning the statistics, but last time I was in San Francisco, I went to the airport and I had been looking for food before I left, but it was too early in the morning to find someplace that I really wanted to eat. I got there. And I think I ended up going to three different stops and eating because one, they had a store, I can't recall the name now, but it was a store that focused on all locally made foods from that region, you know, so cheeses. I mean, actually there was chocolate. There was it was almost like a farmer's market, but in the airport, but just without the produce, you know, some of the more prepared foods. But the foods that they made were even focused on locally produced meats and produce, which I thought was incredible. And then I was walking to my gate, and then I saw a juice bar, and I thought, I could have spent a lot of time there eating.
Yeah. No, I was at an airport a little last year sometime, and there was like an organic grocery mart, and it had all, you know, salads and even their packaged food was all just a much better choice. It was all organic and really short list of ingredients and really things that are harder to find when you're traveling.
Yeah. Now, Emily, let's think about when you're about to head off for a road trip. I mean, do you think of like bringing a small cooler that you pack with foods as well?
Oh, you bet. And I always tell my clients that having a cooler can really help. It can expand the options that you have and what you feel comfortable taking. So even though I will sometimes mention that cheese is okay to take, they're more comfortable when it's in a cooler.
Right.
Or things like yogurt or some of those other hummus is another great one. Those things that can go into a cooler and just extends their life a little bit. I also really like it, too, having a cold drink. Like when my water comes out of the cooler, I'd much rather drink it than when it's been sitting in the car.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's probably, that would likely cut down on some of the stops for sodas if we had cold water, right?
Right. Yeah. So I think that a cooler can really change the choices that are made on a road trip. And so even though it takes up a little bit of space, it is well worth it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And even when I bring the cooler, a lot of times I'll make things like burritos that I'll bring, you know, that have already been cooked. Or I also like to take things like falafel in there, you know, things that don't require a fork that can be handheld. But, you know, that with a cooler, you know, you've got enough that could last you for a couple days.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's actually pretty easy, too, to find ice or something to replenish that if you need it. And don't need to keep constant refrigeration, but can keep up that ice supply in your cooler. And then you can keep things cold for as long as your road trip is. And there's just a lot, you know, those small things that can go in there that can really make a difference. Packing, like you, I do wraps a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, wraps. That's another great idea. Yeah, stuff like that. It just, it helps to have something satisfying. Because I know, like for myself, or I even noticed this with the kids too, sometimes when we're just having snacks, it just doesn't have that same level of satisfaction as having something, you know, that'll have more protein and just feels more complete to it, like a wrap or a burrito.
Right. And there's more variety. You can get sick of just fresh fruits and vegetables and crackers and kind of those more snacky items. So when you can get something a little bit more hearty, it just brings that higher level of satisfaction in terms of variety and flavors.
Yeah, and another thing I was thinking of, actually, from when we were talking earlier about having that emergency box, I can't believe I forgot this, but another thing I keep in there a lot, which some of you might turn up your nose, but is canned fish. I keep canned fish and crackers in there, so meaning like tins of smoked oysters, also sardines, which probably some of you are thinking, what is she talking about? Sardines? So sardines get a bad rap. But actually, they're one of the most nutritious foods we can eat. Like in terms of omega-3s, essential fatty acids that we tend to, you know, put salmon on a pedestal for, you know, sardines blow salmon away. And you can get a lot of great flavors. Like you can get sardines packed in marinara sauce or with mustard or a lemon pepper sardines. So if you haven't had them, I would recommend trying them. And even for the kids, it seems like before they start school, you know, once they start school, then they learn, ooh, gross, and, you know, they're not into as many foods. But prior to then, a lot of times kids really love sardines. And sometimes even once they start school, they're still into them.
That's such a great tip, Jennifer. Since you're sharing kind of the weird things, another one that I do in the cooler as well is kefir.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another great one that excites everybody when you can just kind of get something different out. And so for people haven't tried kefir before, it's kind of more like a drinkable yogurt, but it's a little bit more tart. And my children love to have that on a road trip. It's almost like a dessert for them.
Mm-hmm. Kefir, yogurt, and it's kind of like what we were talking about with cheese. I know most people are going to feel comfortable keeping it in a cooler. And at the same time, cheese, yogurt, kefir, these were all invented because we didn't have refrigeration. So a lot of times I know that some of the parents that I work with will get kind of stressed out. You know, they don't want to send a yogurt unless there's an ice pack in there. And really, I mean, you could leave that stuff. I know this sounds crazy, but you can leave it in your car even for days without refrigeration. What will happen is the bacteria that's in the yogurt or the kefir, what it does is it just starts to eat up the sugar that's in there. And so it makes it more tart. But it's not actually damaging or harmful for us, as long as it's a yogurt that has live active cultures, which most of them should. So what'll happen is it will get more tangy and it'll get more tart. And that's why at the grocery store, they'll keep it in the refrigerator section because they want to preserve it at the flavor that they think is best. But really, we don't have to keep that refrigerated. So I think that's an excellent idea for a road trip, Emily.
Yeah, that's good for people to hear. And sometimes that multiplication of those bacteria are actually a good thing, because then you're eating more of those healthy bacteria that have multiplied. So
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
we
actually
change the flavor, but it's good. It's all right.
Right. Sometimes I'll actually do that. I'll buy my kefir, and then if it's a little too sweet, I just leave it out on the counter for a couple of days. You know, the bacteria that's in there eat up the sugars, and it actually tastes a lot better, I think, many times, which I know it. I think, and I should state for the record, I taught food science for many years, and I taught food safety. And so it's funny that I say this, but I think culturally we're really uptight about refrigeration and cleanliness. And, you know, if somebody's immune compromised, you know, if somebody's going through chemotherapy or if they're just in a fragile condition, I would never recommend saying that. You know, I wouldn't recommend leaving it out because I would err on the side of caution. However, for the majority of us, the healthy population, you know, it's actually probably good for us to get more of the bacteria and also not to be quite so hygienic with our food and so concerned with refrigeration.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jennifer. And I always say, too, like, if you're uncomfortable with it, go ahead and throw it out, especially things like, you know, with my yogurt, if the kids have maybe been eating right out of the container and they don't finish it, and they put their spoon back and it will grow mold.
Right.
We're not going to re-eat that one.
Yeah.
Okay? So if it's got green mold growing on it, that should probably go. But if it's been, if it's been kept from being exposed from other types of pathogens or other types of bacteria, then it's still safe to eat.
Right. And I love what you said. Just always trust your instincts. Trust your nose. And if it doesn't taste good, just throw it out.
Right.
That's probably a good guideline.
Yeah.
Right. Now it's time for us to take another quick break, and stay tuned. When we return, we'll share some biggest mistakes that many of us make when we travel. And as always, please feel free to call in with any questions at any time throughout the show. We'd love to hear your own stories or tips. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'll be right back.
With the busyness of life, it can be difficult to make sure we're getting the proper nutrition we need every day to be healthy. That can be true for your kids, too. With mealtime tantrums, conflicting schedules, force feedings, and short order cooking, eating right can seem daunting. Passionate Nutrition offers private consulting and individually tailored nutrition coaching to help you teach your children how to cultivate a healthy relationship with food that will set them up for lifelong healthy eating. Learn simple tips to nourish your child with balanced, creative, and sustainable meal ideas. Their nutritionists clarify misinformation about food to reduce the anxiety surrounding meals so families can connect at mealtimes. We all want the best nutrition possible, and Passionate Nutrition can help you achieve it in a customized way that fits your busy life. I'm Martha Hadley. Passionate Nutrition is helping me, and they can help you too. Learn more at PassionateNutrition.com. With 6 locations and coverage by most insurance plans, that's PassionateNutrition.com.
Did you know that nearly 500,000 babies are born prematurely in the United States each year? Babies born early face potentially life-altering complications, including learning and behavior problems, increased risk of cerebral palsy, vision and hearing loss, just to mention a few. Hi, I'm Gary Scheip, and every week on Spotlight, we bring you compelling conversation with local leaders. The March of Dimes is funding research to find the causes, treatments, and preventions for the serious problems that threaten babies' health. This week, we speak with two mothers who know from personal experience about the great work the March of Dimes does. Join me to learn more on Spotlight, Sunday mornings at 5 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, KKNW.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. Today, I'm here with Emily Bell, one of our fabulous nutritionists at Passionate Nutrition, and we're sharing tips on how to eat healthy and feel great while we travel. Emily, what do you think the biggest mistakes many of us make while we travel? I mean, do you have some client stories that you would want to share?
Yeah, you know, I actually have been thinking about one specific client. I think we've talked a lot about the common pitfalls that clients have fallen into, but I had this gentleman one time who found that he just kept coming home sick from his business trips. So he traveled about once a month for work, and after he got home, every single time he'd be sick. And you know, so he just really was tired of that pattern and really just started to notice the correlation there. And so we really took a deeper look into what he was eating both before and after he traveled, and focused kind of on building up that immune system so that he went into his business trip healthy and strong, getting a lot of antioxidants on board, but then also just looking, making sure that when he was traveling that we found that he really wasn't, he was eating out at a lot of restaurants, and they were nice restaurants, but he wasn't eating a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. There were not a lot of antioxidants really coming in from his diet into his diet when he was traveling. Does that make sense?
It does. And what, just for our listeners, what were some ways that you helped increase his antioxidants?
So we looked, we kind of went specifically through each of his meals that he has out. So when he traveled, he was staying in a lot of hotels that always had continental breakfasts and these big, huge breakfasts. And he would choose the waffles or the pancakes, the French toast, the omelets, and not, wouldn't always be including such things as like vegetables into his omelets. So I said, omelets are a great choice. You're getting some good protein. And he was choosing breakfast before he headed out for a busy day of work, which was fantastic. But he was kind of getting not enough antioxidants, not enough of those vitamins and minerals to really help him fight all of the stuff that he was coming into contact with on those trips.
Mm-hmm.
So he started choosing vegetables into his omelets, or he would get oatmeal and put berries on top. And at lunch, making sure to do a salad with lots of chopped up vegetables, trying to get as much color in as possible in his meals instead of kind of sticking to the basic meat and potatoes and roll at dinner.
And would you say that that's a good general guideline for people to follow when they're looking for antioxidants? Really look for a lot of color in their diet?
A lot of color is a great way to know that you're getting a good variety of vitamins and minerals. Yes, because each of those different colors brings in important phytonutrients that we can't even really quantify.
Right. And I bet you also talked with him a lot about water. Or was that true for him?
Oh, yes, water. Yes, of course. Because when you are traveling on planes, that's the one thing that often gets forgotten is to drink water. So one of the tips that I often bring up with my clients is making sure to, if you don't want to buy water, I always bring an empty water bottle and can fill it up as I go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to save on money. And then I kind of, I do better like making sure that I'm finishing that when I have my own versus a disposable. So we actually kind of were tracking how many bottles of water he was drinking throughout the day.
That's a great idea. And another thing, too, like with road trips. So that's true on planes, but also with road trips, I know there's that feeling of, wait, we don't want to stop to have to go to the bathroom. So not to drink as much, but it's pretty much the opposite of what we really want to be doing because we're exposed to so much more when we're in new environments.
Right, and you know that also water can also really affect your hunger and your fullness signal. So if you may end up, your choices will be different based on if you're not well hydrated. So mm-hmm. those snacks that are, the sweet and the real carbohydrate rich snacks are going to sound a lot better when somebody's really just needing some water.
It's true, and also, I know living in the Pacific Northwest, when I go someplace, I mean, most other places that I'm traveling to are going to be a lot warmer and more sunny, and I find that I need a lot more hydration.
Yeah, well, and when you're traveling, your body is in a more stressed state, so mm-hmm. it needs more, it just needs to take in more water.
And what about, are there any kind of feel-bad foods that you tell people to try to avoid, you know, ones that people might crave, but after they eat them, they can feel kind of sick or depleted, especially when we're on the road. Are there any of those that you tend to think of that might decrease people's energy or deflate their mood?
Yeah, well, I find that's pretty individualized, but for some people, they really will be gravitate towards really those greasy, kind of high, what we consider to be high fat, high saturated fat foods that are really fried and greasy that they don't normally have. And so It's like, oh, I'm traveling. I'm going to have this now. But it ends up being kind of a catch-22 because then they feel worse afterwards. They eat that big burger, that big meal with all those onion rings and end up feeling a little bit more lethargic and not even really enjoying that meal. So that is something, you know, to be thoughtful about is why do I want this meal right now? And how am I going to feel afterwards?
Yeah, and I know for myself, I'm a burger and fries connoisseur. It's something yeah. I love, and I eat pretty much any time I go out. And I know the spots that I'd love to go. And one of the things I was noticing lately is I thought, okay, this is really a habit. So I know these are some of my favorite foods, and when I go out, I tend to choose them. And at the same time, I realized that I was very much limiting myself because that's just what I always got. And I realized it was a habit, and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to try some new foods and branch out a little bit. And that was a really good realization for me. I mean, even though I'm not opposed to a burger and fries, it just depends. From my perspective, it's really all about the quality. You know, where's the meat coming from? You know, are they using quality oils when they fry? You know, I like to think about those types of things. But it was just good to have that level of awareness, you know, and realize that I was just getting into a pattern when I was eating, which I think can so often happen.
Yeah, that's important, Jennifer. A lot of people do just get into their kind of their safe zone when they travel, right?
Mm-hmm.
They know that this is good and that they like it and they've ordered it before. And it's the same thing like with stopping at the fast food restaurants. Like that's where I've found that I get really comfortable. I know the name,
mm-hmm.
so I go in there. Where when you look on that Yelp app and try somewhere new, it really pays off. You can really find that you enjoy that more.
Right. I know another one that tends to, I mean, for myself, doesn't work out very well is if I have a lot of simple carbohydrates or kind of high glycemic foods. You know, like I just remember on Sunday, I made a special breakfast for everyone where I did waffles and then I made a salted caramel sauce to go on top. And then I made a fruit juice, you know, where it was cranberry and orange and different things. And we ate that and my head just went crazy, you know, just having all of those simple carbohydrates that I don't typically have by themselves without plenty of protein.
Right.
And I think especially with a lot of the breakfasts that get offered in hotels, you know, it might be cereal or, you know, they'll have the waffle maker or the pancake maker where you could do it yourself with juice. I mean, that's a whole lot of sugar.
Don't forget the Danishes and the pastries.
Oh, that's right. The Danishes and the pastries. I mean, I remember when I did that on Sunday and I just felt, wow, this is affecting me so strongly. And this is probably a really common way, you know, a common way people feel after breakfast and they just don't realize that they could feel differently.
Right. Yeah. And those are the times too when people are more likely to grab a bag of chips and then like, so that's then all, a lot of times that's all they'll have is their meal. I've had clients who are like, well, I ate a bag of potato chips and, you know, wasn't hungry. I am talking about snack size bags, but still like that's, you know, is not a real complete meal and that they don't feel great after that, that shortly after that they're feeling hungry again.
Yeah. I know on Sunday, right after I had that, I made some sausage. I said, okay, I've got to balance out here.
Need some protein.
Right. Exactly. Because it was too many sweets all at once.
Yeah. And remembering that water.
Right, the water. And I guess I'd like to close, too, with something that we've talked about before on the show, which is the 80-20 rule. You know, just thinking about what we do 80% of the time is what is really meaningful and makes a big impact on our overall health. What we do 20% of the time, you know, our body can handle that. You know, our body is incredibly resilient. And so our goal with the show is not to bring all your food and miss out on the joy of travel and enjoying the local flair, the local flavor of what you can have, and even to have foods that you don't normally consume. You know, it's just about being thoughtful and making the best choices we can while enjoying ourselves. So, Emily, thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing all of your incredible tips, and I know I'm definitely going to apply a few of them to my future travels. Like, I love those pouches. I mean,
the same. Yeah, I think I'm going to do more of the sardines. We haven't done that in a while. Just get those canned fish into my emergency pack.
Well, you know, it's funny about the sardines. I didn't realize this, but at the Bainbridge office, someone came in the other day, or I guess it's quite a while ago, and she said, "I know you're going to tell me to eat sardines." And I looked at her, and she said, "Yeah, you're known for telling people to eat sardines."
Oh, that's great.
Well, it's true, and it's kind of funny. I don't know if that's necessarily the best reputation to have, but it's, you know, they're so economical and they're so good for us. There was actually, I'll just say quickly, there was a there have been doctors that have traveled around the globe, and they look at places where people live the longest, and they try to find out, okay, what's true about their diets, their social structure, and small fish like sardines come up over and over and over again as being one of the main staples of places where people live the longest.
Yeah, they pack a great punch.
Yeah, they really do. And salmon is a lot of times very cost prohibitive. So,
right, yes.
So sardine it up. And please join us next week for Passionate Nutrition Radio, and we'll be talking all about thrifty nutrition. Hey, I bet we'll talk about sardines.
There you go.
No, probably not. But how to eat whole foods and get optimum nutrition on a budget. And this is a topic I feel really passionately about because I want good nutrition to be available for everyone. And we're excited to share our tips. And to learn more about Passionate Nutrition, please visit us at PassionateNutrition.com. Have a great week.
I jump up and down and hope you toss me a carrot.